Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Music is a world within itself, with a language we all understand.
720 WGN, 609, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. Everybody is happy this week. It's a short week. Everybody knows that tomorrow's their last day, and then we're going to eat and drink all weekend long.
What is this wee stuff?
Wee.
I'll be here Thursday and Friday.
Some of us have already started eating.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Maybe you ought to dial that down, Steve. I'm worried about you.
I don't know.
I am.
I'm still happy, though.
What about the busiest bar night of the year? People still go out?
You know, I was going to ask you guys about
the college kids.
The kids come home. Yeah, and
the kids. I can't wait to go out to see my buddies.
You still go out on
Absolutely.
The Wednesday before Thanksgiving?
Yes.
I'll do dinner with friends, but we don't go, like, by 9 o'clock, we're tired.
Well, you go out at 4, and you're home by 10.
See, we usually make, like, the 6 o'clock reservation.
What
so we're home by 9.
This used to be a cool crew.
I know.
Where are you going? I'll meet you, and I'll just come right to the station when I'm done.
Peoria. I'll be at Cruisin's at 4 o'clock. My brother's a dentist. His last patient is my brother Johnny.
Cruisin's.
So he cleans Johnny's teeth, and they both drive over to Cruisin's Bar on War Memorial.
That's still open.
Yeah. You know, Pete, not only is this the biggest night of the year, but they actually now call it Blackout Wednesday.
No, because that's tomorrow.
Yes.
Today
is Tuesday.
Yes.
But that's what we were talking about.
Yes.
The night before Thanksgiving?
Blackout Wednesday.
That would be tomorrow. Yeah.
Because people are boozing it up.
Right. Yeah. It's actually become so bad that hospitals add extra emergency room staff, and it's just become out of control.
Blackout
Wednesday.
Do you guys think people go at the bars, you know, the kids and the younger crowd, they see you guys, or any of us who would decide to go out, do you think they see us and say, oh, look at those old people?
Yes, of course they do. That's why you don't go out.
No, guys, don't think like that.
You guys, they like us to go with so we can pay.
They look at me and say, that guy is fun.
And drive.
I'm drawn to him. He's got great energy.
I'm not saying that they're with us. I'm saying that, like, you have your group, and then there's a younger group over there.
And they're snickering at us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See,
absolutely.
When I go out mentally, I'm about 27. I don't know about anybody else.
There you go.
Are we all 27 when we go out to the bars?
I'm 22.
Until it's about 9 until it's about 9 o'clock, then I turn into, like, a 92-year-old.
Or you see one of those.
Right,
call
my Uber.
I'm
so tired.
I see one of those. Millennial kids liked it when I went with.
No, they don't.
What do you mean?
Oh, I feel bad.
Oh, I'm thinking no.
See, when you're
I'm thinking they're being nice.
They're being nice.
I'm at the rotation now where I'm hanging out with my nieces and nephews now at the bars.
Yeah.
I'm the fun uncle.
Yeah, it's fun.
Wait, do they call you that, though, or do you call you that?
Well, I just assume that I'm the fun uncle.
Just wait till Charlie gets a little bit older.
No.
We'll see if you're still cool.
He's the uncle with a credit card.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? You're right.
Ding, 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 ding.
Hey, Uncle Pete, can I have another beer?
Right.
Yeah, put it on the tab. It's all right. But there's something special, you know, that Wednesday before Thanksgiving, you go back to your hometown and you hang out. You see, like, your high school buddies that you haven't seen in years.
And if you were a freshman, I mean, that was the first time you came home. But now, I mean, back then we could get in the bars as freshmen. Now we can't. So,
but don't you think times have changed now with Facebook and FaceTime? Because you would go away to school and you wouldn't see anyone.
Right.
And now you're in touch with people 24/7.
Yeah. We used to do that, too. We would finish the school year and then a bunch of the girls would have a reunion in July on campus. And that's when everybody would see each other. Now, you know, like you said, you go on Facebook, you shoot them a text. You want to meet? Nope, can't. How about next weekend? It's just so much easier now.
No reason for reunions anymore.
No.
You hang out with the people you hang out with, and if you want to peek into somebody's life, you pull them up on Facebook.
That is very true, because when we had my 20th high school reunion, we said, okay, we're going to do it next year. Everyone's getting together, same thing, but we all talk on Facebook all the time, so there's not really a need
to do that. Hey, how's your family doing? Oh, well, I know. I see your pictures on Facebook.
Yeah.
And doesn't it blow your mind that tomorrow night is bigger than New Year's Eve? I mean, I still can't believe that. The more people go out.
I love it.
New Year's Eve is so expensive.
I love it. I love New Year's Eve, too.
That's amateur night.
Oh, I love New Year's Eve.
I hate
New Year's
Eve.
New Year's Eve's a blast.
Go out to dinner, have a nice time. With Uber now, you don't need to worry about anything.
That's right. It's so overrated.
That's right. No, New Year's Eve's awesome.
It's awful.
It's the best.
What happened to this crew?
No, it's the best. I agree with you.
I leave for a year and a half. I come back.
There's fireworks.
No one wants to go out anymore.
Well, now we go to Cochran's show all the time on New Year's Eve.
We go to the early version.
The early one.
We go early.
But
New Year's Eve, there's fireworks at night if you live in the city. It's the best.
You go to dinner and go out?
I go to dinner, go out, and then usually am back home by around well, anyway, over the last couple of years anyway, and I watch the fireworks with friends back at my place.
So you start early and you end early.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you do it
early,
nowadays.
But I'm still up till midnight. I mean, I don't go to bed till about 1 o'clock.
Well, that's kind of pushing it. Yeah. You don't have to stay up till midnight.
I can't make it past 9.
I can DVR it. Is that
what do they call that? The second shift where you go out from 4 until 10.
Yeah,
I'm second shift guy.
Yeah,
that's
a good
perfect
shift to
for
go
me.
Out. Yeah.
Have you guys heard about the term Friendsgiving?
I was just at a Friendsgiving event last
week. What's the deal with that? It's
what,
so big.
What is Friendsgiving?
This year.
Friendsgiving. I heard it 5 times yesterday.
Yeah.
You mentioned it the
Once
other day,
me, yeah.
Andy, and I'm like, okay, yeah. I just kind of let it blow by, yeah. And then I heard it yesterday.
Okay, wait, what is it?
You just go to, I mean, someone will take charge and invite you to, you know, a little Friendsgiving, a pre-Thanksgiving celebration.
Same food, though?
Yeah.
Friendsgiving.
Yeah. So it's a party before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes, Ross Cochran just posted one of those on Facebook.
We used to have those. They were called pre-Thanksgiving dinners.
Yeah. But
now it's Friendsgiving.
Friends, sometimes when friends don't go home with their family, they'll spend Thanksgiving together and they'll call it Friendsgiving.
Correct.
312-981-7200. Have you heard of Friendsgiving or celebrated? Give us a call. 312-981-7200. We'll continue that conversation about Friendsgiving. I'm surprised you didn't even hear about it.
I did
Andrea.
Not know until Andy mentioned it the other day. I didn't know if it was on Thanksgiving where you spend Thanksgiving with your friends or if it's pre-celebration.
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. I think they
Festivus.
Well, they started like last weekend, and I think they'll continue up until tomorrow.
Festivus.
Now, I know Festivus.
Friendsgiving sounds like a Seinfeld
Get
term,
out the
doesn't
yes,
it?
Does. Get out the tinsel.
Friendsgiving. WGN. It is 6:20 in the morning. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. We're talking about Friendsgiving. Now, Andy, is this just a neighborhood thing with you?
This particular one, yeah, was kind of a neighborhoody, with a few block radius.
Okay.
It was at a neighbor's house, a little bonfire in the backyard, a little TV outside to watch college football, deep fried turkey.
That just sounds like a bonfire party.
Well, then there was people inside too.
And did you have turkey?
We had turkey, deep fried, some mac and cheese, and some. Everybody kind of brought their own. It was like a potluck thing. So I mean, I since I'm such a great chef, and the bachelor of the group, I brought beer.
Friendsgiving, you don't need a turkey. You can bring whatever.
No, you can bring
you
whatever
want.
You want. Yeah,
beer. You can have cheese. You can have French fries, cocktails, whatever you want.
Oh, so it could be anything.
It could be anything
Doesn't
at all.
Just have to be the traditional turkey.
There were kids and... kids in there too. So it was kind of cool.
It's like a family thing.
Yeah. See, Friendsgiving to me, it's a bunch of single people getting together on Thanksgiving or right before Thanksgiving.
Yeah. In this case, it was one single person getting together with a bunch of married people.
Let's go to Dan. Dan, you celebrate Friendsgiving?
Yes, we did one. A couple of things. One, it is extremely well to hear you back on the radio on WGN.
I love
it.
Thank you.
Very excited. And two, I went to school in Peoria at Bradley, and when you mentioned cruisins, I had so many flashbacks of crazy
You
Wednesday
and Andy.
Night.
I know, me too.
We went on the Farmington Road one. You know, we went to the Rucker one. So, that went on the War Memorial one. But we did do a Friendsgiving. We did one a couple years ago. And our reason we did it was because we all wanted to eat all the great sides from Thanksgiving that we never get to see all our friends. So we did a turkey, we did all the sides, and then we did no kids. So it was all adults, everyone got sauced, and then went to the bar later.
God,
so
that's great. Nice. Love it. Dan, happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving.
The Fixer Upper, do you guys watch that show with Chip and Joanna?
Mm-mm.
No.
What?
I know, I don't. No. I watch
Watching American, Seinfeld reruns. Come on.
I watch American Pickers.
Fixer Upper, Chip and Joanna Gaines celebrated Friendsgiving this year.
I read about them in The People.
Nice.
Yeah. Read about the couple in The People magazine. Very interesting couple.
No one watches that show except me and my wife?
No.
Really?
I do watch a lot of those weird
Fixer
shows.
Fixer Upper is a great show.
I watch the RV show once in a while.
What's the one where they do the summer homes? It's kind of like, not Fixer Upper, but they go and they go to the Hamptons, and it's people who want to pick. It's funny to watch.
Andy's just shaking his head. It's like, what are you guys talking
I'm
about?
Not sure what's
it's like
going on
HGTV
here.
Or History.
I have no
Do
idea.
Do I get those?
Friendsgiving. George!
Get those.
George, you there?
Hello.
Go ahead, buddy.
Yep. All right. Well, when I was in college, I dated a girl who was she was a foreign exchange student from Europe. And when we're all stuffing our faces, a lot of the kids that are here from other countries can't obviously go home and see their family. So I decided to have a Friendsgiving about 9 years ago with all the foreign exchange students that I had got to know through college. So it started out about 9 years ago on a Saturday after Thanksgiving, and it was, you know, about six of us. We've done it every single year. And we have everyone who comes, you know, bring food from their, you know, foods they would eat in their country, and everyone brings a dish. So this Saturday, we're expecting about 40 people. So it's grown.
See, that's great.
That is really good.
I feel like I need to have a Friendsgiving at my house after Thanksgiving.
So I'll bring tzatziki.
It's kind of nice. So we all get together, and, you know, now some of them have kids, and some of them are married. And so it's kind of awesome, from six people to 40 people, and it just it grows every year, and it's wonderful to see everyone.
Just an excuse to get together.
Yeah, you said that, you know, the single people, like, you know, it could be people that hate their families, you know, like.
You're right, that don't want to go home for Thanksgiving, that want to get together.
But it's different than being with a family, because you can actually act like yourself at this thing. You know, you have to be, you don't have to put on your family face.
See, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, yes. I love being with
George, hold on, what are you doing this weekend? We have a pair of tickets to go see Sebastian Maniscalco at the Chicago Theater, plus meet and greet passes backstage.
Are you kidding me right now? You're joking, right?
Sebastian Maniscalco, Sunday night's show, courtesy of Sebastian, right? Or courtesy of no one. Okay, courtesy of us. You're going to meet Sebastian, too. You can meet him before the show.
God, he is like my idol. I've had the worst week. This is like the icing on the cake. This is amazing. I don't.
George, we love you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy
Hold on,
Thanksgiving.
Okay?
You made his week.
I love you guys.
Nice work.
Look
good
at that.
Good job, Pete. Look what he did.
312-981-7200. I feel like we need to have a Friendsgiving, but I guess we do. I mean, we're having
every
turkey
morning.
Dinner.
How about a hug?
I like the idea of everybody brings a different dish from, you know, I would bring something Greek. You would probably bring something what?
Lebanese. Sure.
Yeah. I would bring something bottled and alcoholic.
Yeah. Andy, bring a brisket.
Mary, what are you making?
I'll bring something Belgian. How about Belgian beer?
How about chocolate?
Oh, I'll bring chocolate for sure. Yeah. That's my specialty.
Chocolate.
Anything dessert.
Go with the beer.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, of course, the busiest travel day of the year, and I love talking to this man. He is the travel editor for CBS. On the phone with us is Peter Greenberg. Peter, happy Thanksgiving.
And happy Thanksgiving to you.
And before we talk about travel deals over Thanksgiving, tomorrow, the busiest travel day of the year, can you give some tips to people that are going to be driving or hitting the airport? Do you have any tips for us?
I do. I'll give you some good news. Tomorrow usually is the busiest travel day of the year. Traditionally, that's why they made the movie Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, to celebrate the nuts of tomorrow. Guess what? Americans are suddenly getting smarter. And we've staggered our departure days. Most of us have not gone tomorrow. They've gone last Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and today. So tomorrow is going to be bad, but it's not going to be as bad. However, the good news is this. The economy means we're having more people are flying. They're willing to spend more money. But the airlines are providing more seats, about 74,000 more seats a day than they did last year. And, of course, fuel prices, about 11 cents more per gallon than it was last year, but still some of the lowest fuel prices we paid since 2008. So you're going to have more people driving, more people flying, but the actual flying numbers, even though they're bigger, are staggered over a longer period of time.
So people are listening right now. There's some people that are saying, okay, I want to get away for the weekend. Can they still get travel deals right now?
Believe it or not, they can if they listen to me. And here's how we do it. If you're like me, you believe that Thanksgiving is a dysfunctional family get-together. So do what I do. Take the very first flight of the day on Thanksgiving morning. It'll still get you where you need to go to carve the turkey and have your relatives push all your emotional buttons. And then you leave on Friday while everybody's stuck in traffic going to the mall for Black Friday. That's the one day that nobody's flying. You can go bowling on those flights. You fly. You've satisfied your Thanksgiving family obligations. You fly home. And now you can have the weekend back for yourself and watch as much bad football as you can.
But you're only gone for a day, though.
Yes, the problem is if you come back, here's the interesting thing. Remember I talked to you about staggering departure days?
Yep.
Nobody's been smart enough to stagger their return day. And this coming Sunday is going to be a nightmare.
Yeah.
That's the one day if you do not want to go anywhere near an airport. It's not going to be pretty.
What if you fly out either Thursday morning or Friday morning and fly back on Monday if you can get Monday off?
Either Saturday or Monday would be a good idea. Just avoid Sunday. That's the one thing you want to do. And if you're going to the airport, remember, we have to deal with all the lines at the TSA. And if you have TSA pre-check, remember this. The fact that you have TSA pre-check doesn't guarantee that the TSA will even open the pre-check lines. They're still understaffed. So there are no guarantees that you're going to have a streamlined experience at the airport. So prepare that accordingly.
Peter, you travel everywhere. How has Chicago stepped up their game when it comes to long lines? Are they getting better?
They are getting better because they've adapted the European model of an automated line for the TSA with the bins. And it's actually working. It's saving about 20 to 30% time of you going through that you know, the conveyor belts. And they're going to try to roll this out at airports around the country. But right now in Chicago, they get the benefit because they're trying the system, and guess what? It works.
Peter, I'm always amazed still at the people in line who still are saying, oh, wait, what? You know, and they're shuffling along. I think we could alleviate half of our problems if people were just prepared.
Yeah.
Got through, you know, if you're not TSA pre-check, you have to take the shoes off, take the hats off, take the coats off. But,
yes,
you know,
but
you get people walking.
But you know what?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're forgetting one thing. At this time of the year, you have a lot of people who are still first-time travelers. They don't know.
That's true. Very true.
And I really think, I mean, this is going to sound very elitist, but play along with me here. I actually think there should be two lines at the airport, amateurs and professionals.
I would agree with that. I would.
Yeah. I'm with you 100%. Listen,
yeah.
I've traveled. I've been married 15 years. I travel with my wife all the time and my son. Every single time, my wife has water in her purse.
Yes.
Every single time.
And
I can't take this through.
He's still married. That's unbelievable.
Peter, but she asked me every single time, hey, I can't take this through. This is a brand new bottle. I only took a few sips. No, Sarah, you can't do that.
Well, in her defense, she probably forgets.
Wow. Peter, you talk about on your website, petergreenberg.com, you talk about how hackers are targeting frequent flyer miles. Can you talk about that?
I can. When was the last time you checked your balance on your frequent flyer statement? Probably not that often. And if they can figure out your passcode, and sometimes they do, they can go in there, and they do, and they literally steal your miles and either redeem them for merchandise or sell them on the black market at like 50 cents on the dollar for people who actually exchange them for tickets. So it's imperative that you check your statement about once a month, just like you would check your bank account. Because once those miles are gone, it's very difficult to replace them or to prove that you are not the one who did it.
You know what? I never used to check them. Now that they have the app, you can just pull it up on the app and it shows you right away once you log in or stay logged in.
Right. And then some airlines have changed the entire password system. So, for example, if I want to log in on my United Airlines account and find out what my mileage is, they're going to ask me a series of questions about who my favorite artist is, what did I want to be when I grew up, things that only I might know. So because they've been hit as well. So some of the airlines will follow suit, but it's still imperative that you check your statement yourself.
We're talking with Peter Greenberg, CBS News travel editor. It sounds like you're at an airport right now. Where are you? What are you doing?
I'm actually at Reagan National Airport in Washington, where I'll be flying out. I am. Where I'll be flying out later today just to New York and then back to Los Angeles tomorrow.
How often do you fly every week?
I'm on a plane about 3 to 4 days a week somewhere in the world.
I mean, think about that. That's his job.
That's
this
is
what
office.
You do.
You've said that before, right, Peter? That's your office.
It is. It truly is. People don't realize when you say you're the travel editor for CBS, everybody wants your job until you tell them your schedule. And then they say, no, thank you. Now, I'm not complaining, but people understand that that's what I do. I have to go out there and investigate the process so I can explain the product.
What about Wi-Fi in airports, Peter? How safe is it?
Well, Wi-Fi at airports is great, but the public spots are not that great. You should do no banking transactions or nothing that involves a password or nothing that involves finances because it's very easy for somebody to surf over and check out what you're doing. It's not that safe. And the same thing, by the way, applies to public spaces at hotels and lobbies. You know, do it from – if you want to do something that's personal to you that has – either passcodes or financial information, wait till you get to your room or wait till you get home.
Jeez. I mean, we're all doing it.
Seriously, right? Peter, there's so many apps out there. I know each airline has their own app and you can check in and whatnot, but there's so many apps, TripAdvisor, Hopper, TripIt. Are there any that you really like, maybe the top two that everyone should have on their phone if you travel
a lot? You're going to laugh when I tell you this because I'm old school. Here's the app I like, Human Being. I actually like getting the phone calls and talking to human beings because they know what's going on. All those electronic alerts I get from the airlines about whether or not my flight is late or not, by the time I get the alert, I already know. So the bottom line is have conversations. This is the year that I'm going to be the big champion of forcing people to do something they're culturally not inclined to do. Have a conversation. Talk to somebody. Learn something. Remember, the internet or the apps do not think creatively. They only think in a linear way. Now, if you want to know if the flight is leaving at 4:05 from what gate, any app can tell you that. But if you want to find out, you know, if there's weather in Chicago and somebody lost their bag, you know what? Talk to somebody.
What's this human that you speak of?
It's a person on the other end of the phone.
Oh, right.
Exactly. Well, if you call up and if you're looking for a discounted ticket and you call the airline, don't they charge you a fee? Is it worth it to pay the fee? Which is
here's the biggest myth. Here's the biggest the fee that you're talking about is $30. But here's the biggest myth. Everybody listening to this show, or almost everybody listening to this show, falls into the category of thinking that they want to make their reservation online and book their ticket online because it's easy to do it. You can do it at 3 o'clock in the morning in your bathrobe. You don't have to talk to a human being. But here's the problem. Only about 52% of what's available out there is online. All you see, the inventory that you see on the web, is only the inventory that the travel provider, whether it's the hotel, the airline, the cruise line, the rental car company, wants to make available online. So if you do online stuff and you're very happy and proud that you're able to hit those keystrokes and do it at 3 in the morning, in many cases you're disenfranchising yourself from about 40% or 48% of what's available. So why wouldn't you research online but still have a conversation? And if you can beat the price online, then do it. But remember, I've always had the chance to talk to a human being and figure out a different way to go, a different airport to go that may not be listed or that may not be online.
We sit in traffic. Why not kill time and call the airline and book your flight? And if it's more expensive, just book it online. That makes sense.
Exactly. Look, if I can save you $200 by talking to a human being and they're going to charge me $30 for that privilege, I still save $170.
I like that. And right. I didn't know we'd be doing math this early in the morning, but I figured it out. And Peter, a lot of people are going to be traveling over Christmas and New Year's. Any suggestions for people listening right now?
Well, the good news about Christmas is it's not the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. People could really stagger their departures and stagger their returns. And historically, fewer people travel over Christmas than they do over Thanksgiving. But here's the best thing about Christmas this year. It's not just a buyer's market in this country. It's a buyer's market overseas. I'm seeing airfares now that you cannot believe. Round trip to London or to Portugal or to Paris for $450.
Wow.
I was on a flight last week from London to Los Angeles, and we had to buy a reservation. I had to buy a ticket at the last minute for one of our crew members. And usually a last-minute reservation on a London to Los Angeles flight is suicidal. You know what the airfare was round trip from London? It was $600. Normally it would be $1,800. And when we got on the plane, my crew member was very happy because the plane was half empty. He had a whole row to himself. What you're seeing now in this post-election situation is people hunkering down, not necessarily wanting to fly, certainly not necessarily wanting to book in advance. So you're going to start seeing discounts between now and March that would never have been there a year ago.
I love having you on the show because you just fire off the deals. I mean, you get me excited about traveling.
Well, that's not my job. My job is just to let you know the information, but I'm happy to hear you're excited.
CBS News travel editor. You can check out his website, petergreenberg.com. Peter, happy Thanksgiving.
Right back to you guys, and I'll see you in line.
All right, take
care.
See you,
Peter. Yeah, we will see him in line.
He's so good.
He convinced me, about a year ago, friends of mine and I were considering going to Cuba. And I asked him, I said, should I go? He said, without even me finishing the question, he said, absolutely. It was the best trip I ever took.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Wonderful. Five days.
I got to travel. I've never been to London. I feel like I'm the last person on the planet that hasn't been to London.
I haven't either.
Second
you
got
to go to London.
Third to last.
No, you guys have been there. Oh, you got to go to London.
$450 round trip?
You cannot.
$450?
Beat that. You cannot beat that.
Damn.
That's phenomenal. Ireland has really good airfares too right now.
Hey, Ireland.
Hey, top of the morning to you.
My, okay, $450 round trip. I got to look into that.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Hey, Adam Hall.
Hi.
Can you give us any insight into the plan for Thursday?
Not really.
What can you tell us about Bear Jones, and is he ready if he needs to be?
I mean, ready for what?
This is going to be a painful talk. 720 WGN. Adam Hoge is brought to you by CJ Wilson Mazda. He's the Bears insider. Adam, just when you thought things couldn't get any worse, we heard the news yesterday. Adam? Okay.
He's stunned. He's speechless.
Adam? Hey, hello. Okay. Am I missing him?
I don't know.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yep.
I have a good one for him when he joins us.
Mm-hmm.
These guys who are taking the performance-enhancing drugs, do they not know that they can be tested they will be caught? Why would they even put themselves in a position to be tested and caught?
There are people who feel that they're above it, you know, and think that they can't be caught and things like that. I mean, you see that in everyday life. you know, you think you're invincible and these kind of things. And, you know, like we were talking a minute ago with just the fact that you never know what's gonna happen if you take something that you shouldn't be taking.
Right.
Okay. Adam, you there?
No, he's still not there.
Not there.
That
just,
was actually
just
the,
have him call.
He's yeah. still
That's
speechless.
Fine. We'll talk to him on the
speechless.
Phone. But yeah, Andy's right. If you and if you're making millions, right. I don't care if you're making six figures or whatever. Yeah. If you're a professional athlete and you know that you're going to be tested on a regular basis, do not put stuff in your body.
Why do it? I mean, why do it? First of all, it's illegal. Why cheat?
Yeah.
Why cheat?
Maybe,
I don't
maybe they're
it.
Not even cheating. Maybe they just don't care.
Well,
especially this season.
It may not be a situation of just not caring. I mean, it's. It's one of those things, too, that started with the mentality in baseball when steroids were being, you know, rampant through the game.
Yeah.
And there were guys watching other guys use and make tons of money and while they were sitting there doing it the right way and not. So it's only human nature to think,
all right.
I want to add to my wallet a little bit here.
Adam, thanks for coming on. Let's wrap up our talk. We're all done.
Thank you.
I think we discussed
it,
and that's good.
Good talk, Adam.
Adam is brought to you by C.J. Wilson Mazda, Adam Hogue, Bears insider buddy.
Hey, Pete. Hey, Andy. Yeah, this is starting to remind me a little bit of 2014, not in the sense of, hey, there's something ridiculous happening every single day. That was at a totally different level. But just that this year, it seems like every single day there's one more player that is lost, whether it's an injury, whether it's a suspension, which now we've seen two of those with Jarrell Freeman, which we thought was the big news yesterday. And then there's, of course, this Chicago Tribune report that Jay Cutler could be out for the year, and that would be the third quarterback the Bears have lost for the year, and that would open up the Matt Barkley era for these final six games. if you're rooting for the number two overall draft pick, or heck, maybe even higher, things are going well for you.
I was following along on Twitter yesterday, and I was on many text chains. Okay, we all know the season is over, okay? Mm-hmm. We're not going to do anything this season. But what does the future hold? Next season doesn't look any brighter. I'm talking 4 or 5 years down the road because we need the draft. We need to get some free agent. There's no hope in sight for the Bears.
Yeah, they got a lot of work to do. And in my opinion, losing Cutler, which I'm not saying that they shouldn't move on from him, but losing him – does set you back even farther because, I mean, I think you'll see it on Sunday against the Titans if Matt Barkley is indeed out there. Well, you did see it against Green Bay last month when he played in the second half after Brian Hoyer got hurt. You know, Jay has his problems, but, you know, there's a big drop-off there still. So you got to – if you're going to get rid of Jay, you still got to go find the new franchise quarterback.
Yeah, who's your backup? Or do you find some guy that can carry you for a few years before you can draft another quarterback or grab somebody in free agency?
Right. Do they re-sign Brian Hoyer? I mean, have they determined that maybe he's good enough to at least, you know, get you through a season? And he probably showed at least that much.
So let me bring it down to the lowest common denominator. We remember when we were all in college and you were dating someone and you thought, okay, I'm going to break up with this person, but I want to date somebody throughout the winter. So you got to find somebody better and no one was there. So you stick with the old girlfriend. That's Jay Cutler. He's our old girlfriend.
What? You guys did that? What?
No.
This is news to me. Explains a lot.
Adam, if you were paid $1 million or more, would you be careful what you put in your body? Would you ask someone if you didn't know this pill would do something to you? Would you ask?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
These excuses, and I'm still waiting. I would love there to be one athlete. I don't care what the sport is. Whoever gets suspended, to just come out and say, yeah, I took something I shouldn't. My bad. I'll throw my suspension. No one ever admits it. There's always some excuse, right?
Yeah.
I didn't know what was in the supplement. I didn't. Or Jarrell Freeman yesterday saying he made a mistake with his prescription medication. To me, that's not. That's
what does that mean?
Of all excuses. If it's prescribed to you, presumably presumably the Bears doctors know what you're taking.
Right. You would think it would be the Bears doctor. Which doctor is prescribing this to you?
Yeah, did he just take the wrong pill? I mean, you know what I mean? So they're just – it's hard to believe that these guys are really making these mistakes.
It's painful. It's like a train wreck that just keeps getting worse and worse. And John Fox has completely checked out. Is he here next season?
Yeah, I think he is, guys. I know fans are getting frustrated, and there certainly are games like the Tampa game last week that I put on the coaches because they just didn't look ready to play. But, you know, I don't know. I know a lot of people want to blame the coaching staff for these suspensions. To me, it's the athlete's responsibility to follow the rules, and I don't really blame the team too much. You got to know what you're putting in your body. You can't make a mistake, if it even was a mistake, which is hard to believe. So I still think that Fox is going to be around here. I think Ryan Pace, the general manager, is actually making some strides.
Well, Andy can't stand Ryan Pace. Doesn't think he makes good decisions.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan. I don't know necessarily, Adam, if it's just because I still have the Kevin White pick in my
Who?
Brain.
Well, he had a great game last week, didn't he? What?
Yeah, but the thing about Kevin White, though, is that, you know, sometimes that's going to happen. He had no injury history going into the draft. It's not like Chris Williams,
yeah,
you know, 10 years ago where they knew he had a back problem and drafted him anyway. He's had two freak leg injuries, and it's unfortunate, but you could still see the talent that's there and understand why Ryan Pace took him number 7 overall. It sucks that it hasn't worked out.
Yeah, I want to go back to the suspensions real quick here with Jeffrey and with Freeman. How are these guys looked at in the locker room? I mean, are they looked at as like, hey, you know, you guys are letting us down? Or do the players kind of rally around players just because they're in the same fraternity?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think publicly, for the most part, you're going to have the teammates come out and, you know, voice some support for their guys because it is a brotherhood. But, you know, there were some comments made last week when it came to Alshon Jeffrey that, hey, like, for instance, Pearl McPhee said, I don't need that stuff, you know, in kind of a sarcastic, aggressive way. Because there's got to be some frustration with these guys because they did let him down. And, you know, I think it's somewhat unfair that yesterday Charles Leno Jr. and Tracy Porter were the two guys designated to come to the podium to address the media over this because
right.
On Mondays the locker room's not open, but one or two players are required to talk to the media by NFL rules. And – you know, so someone's got to do it. And unfortunately, these two guys had to answer for their teammates' mistakes. And they got put in a really uncomfortable position where Tracy Porter for 10 minutes was getting grilled on a failed drug test that he didn't fail. His teammate did. So, you know, they got to be fed up with it. They got to be upset because I would be.
It's just painful. The whole thing is just painful. 815 area code just sent in a text. Tony Romo. He's done. Tony's done.
Yeah.
We don't want Tony Romo here.
Brittle bones.
No.
Well, I understand that sentiment. If you're Tony Romo, though, why would you want to come to an organization where you know
Wait a second. We're the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, but you're going to be the guy that gets replaced, right, in a year?
Right.
You're going to sign with a team that you know is going to draft another quarterback, and basically he's going to be in the same situation he is this year with the Cowboys, where his job was taken away from him.
It upsets me that our football team is an embarrassment. I mean, this is a storied franchise, one of the greatest franchises in the history of the NFL. I mean, one of the first.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And now it's just nothing. It's horrible. And I'm a season ticket holder. It drives me crazy.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to any more games. Adam Hogue is brought to you by CJ Wilson Mazda. Adam, thank you, buddy. Happy Thanksgiving.
Right,
yeah. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. You know, Black Friday is this Friday. You got Cyber Monday. Don't forget about Giving Tuesday. That's the day where we all give to our favorite charity, and we want to remind everyone that November is National Diabetes Month. On the phone with us, she is the JDRF One Dream Gala co-chair. It's Sarah Alter. Sarah, good morning.
Well, good morning, Pete.
Tell us what the One Dream Gala is all about.
It's one of the Chicago and in the United States largest fundraising events. It happens every year in December at the McCormick Place and Erie Crown Theater. In fact, it's been going on now for 37 years, and it's raised over $58 million towards type 1 diabetes research.
That's pretty impressive. Yeah. My niece, Haley, is type 1 diabetic.
She is.
My good friend, David Flom from Chicago Cut Steakhouse, they have to wear the little pack on their hip.
Yes.
How close are we to a cure? How close?
It's an incredibly exciting time, and much of it thanks to JDRF, because they are the largest charitable fund raising and advocate for type 1 diabetes. And they literally have just come up with a new form of technology. It's a first generation artificial pancreas. And I think, as you and others may know,
how about that?
Those who have type 1 diabetes, their pancreas does not produce insulin, and you need insulin to help regulate your healthy blood sugar levels. And so now, after years of discovery research, this first-generation artificial pancreas is available and approved by the FDA, and JDRF was the driving force behind it. So we are very, very, very close to finding that cure.
Sarah, what's so cool is that with many charities, you don't know where the money goes. You know with JDRF, the money is going to go
right
for trials just like the one that you're talking about.
Absolutely. 100% of your donation goes towards that research. And it's research that not only, like I said, that end game goal is to find the cure, but there's also incredible progress that's been made just on developing technologies and approaches to help people who do have type 1 diabetes just try and live a more regulated and normal life. My husband, in fact, is a beneficiary of that. We call him the bionic man in our family and household. And he, like you said, Pete, he wears two different types of wireless technical devices. Mm-hmm. One, monitors his glucose level, and the other is a tubeless insulin pump that he uses to inject his insulin with. And because of this technology, he can lead a more normal life. That said, it's still a very scary thing. And it truly does impact not only the lives of the people who have type 1, but their families as well. And so that's why we are so inspired and so excited by all the work that JDRF does, because it helps not only Michael, but our family as well.
Sarah, when I hear JDRF, of course, we all think Ron Santo. Mm-hmm. I mean, he brought it to the forefront.
Absolutely. He was the hero. He brought it so that it was more on people's public purview. And it's people like him who've been able to make great strides in terms of building that awareness.
If I had a dollar for every time I heard him, Ron, talking to a a young diabetic, telling that person, you can live a normal life, and things changed so much, obviously, since the time he had it.
Right, absolutely. My husband's had it now for over 27 years, and he would agree. Thanks to a lot of these technical advancements, he's been able to keep it under control and lead a more normal life. But at the same time, it makes him all the more committed that he wants to support organizations like JDRF and support others. 40,000 people get it every year, and half of those people are kids. And it can come at any stage of life. And so Michael's very much committed, like Ron Santo was, to helping to educate and support those who are part of, unfortunately, this club.
And one of the reasons that Harry Carey's got involved, Grant and Beth over at Harry Carey's, is because of Ron Santo. And I think, that's why we're all getting involved. So if people want more information about One Dream Gala, Find a Cure, where can they go?
They can go to jdrf.org/Illinois/gala. It's going to be an incredible party. They have silent auctions, they have raise a paddle auctions for the Fund a Cure, and they have none other than Cheap Trick performing a live music concert.
Cheap Trick! Rockford's own Cheap Trick!
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
That is fantastic.
So, yeah, and our goal is to raise over $4.3 million this year. So we'd love to have everybody and anybody come attend the gala, and if you can't, please, by all means, go to that URL, jdrf.org/Illinois/gala, and please donate.
Sarah, you're doing great work. Thank you for coming on.
No, thank you for having us.
Have a great Bye-bye. Thanksgiving.
Oh, and you as well. Bye-bye.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
720 WGN, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. It is 8:10. The 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by Wintrust Community Banks. Over one dozen times I've talked to our next guest and have never met him until today. He is the mayor of our great city, Mayor Rahm Emanuel. It's great to see you.
Great to see you.
Finally.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, it was like one of those match dating things online. Now we're here.
I went in for the hug. You put out your hand. We're not there yet.
I was just in Italy. A lot of hugging. I'm taking a 24-hour hug break.
How great was that? How great was that weekend?
Well, it was great for the city. It was, without a doubt, a celebration of our new cardinal and what it means. And I think we should step back in the sense that the first appointment by Pope Francis in the United States of an archbishop was Chicago. Archbishop Supich, and then in the first elevations he's made in the world, Chicago is included in that with also Newark and Dallas. And I think that speaks volumes of the significance that Pope Francis sees in both Chicago, but more importantly in Cardinal Supich. And that should be celebrated for all of us because he has brought, in my view, a great moral voice to people of all faiths. I was teasing him that I said that I represented the Levite and Kohen wing of the Catholic Church, and I would like the Jesuits and Dominicans to step aside to make room for the new denominations. We're going to start our own universities. We're going to start our own schools.
It's nice.
Yeah.
Perfect. You two became fast friends when you met, didn't you?
Yeah, I called him as soon as it emerged. I called him in Spokane, Washington, welcomed him, and we talk frequently and communicate frequently, and we have a good friendship, eye to eye on a number of issues, but I said to him, I respect the difference between the pulpit and the podium. We speak from different places.
Right.
On the other hand, if we're focused on the same things, we're going to get our respective people there a lot quicker. And I think the church can play a very important role in both meeting some of the opportunities and challenges that the city faces. And I want, you know, there's enough room for another oar in the water to help pull.
Are you jet lagged? You just got back.
I think I have more energy than I physically look like. That may be more about the caffeine speaking right now than anything else. Yeah, I am a bit out of body in the sense of I'm not sure what time is it. What is it? Where am I? How did I get here?
About 8:15 Tuesday before Thanksgiving.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, how great was it, though, too? I know you're jet-lagged, but what a great contingency we had representing Chicago for the Cardinals.
Andrea, there's, I think... Look, we were the only city that both the mayor, U.S. senator, the governor, aldermen, we had the two Catholic universities with the presidents of both DePaul and Loyola. We had business leaders, labor leaders, and from no other city had that. And it was a celebration of Archbishop, now Cardinal Supich. And I think we should celebrate that. And it was, for me, obviously, it was a great window and to see the ceremony, all that, but to also take in, as I said, and I'm happy as the mayor to lead that delegation for us to celebrate this milestone in the church's history, in Cardinal Supich's personal history, and the history of the city of Chicago as we write another chapter in our journey as a city.
You were genuinely excited to go to Rome and represent Chicago and be there for the Cardinal. I love that.
Yeah, I was. I mean, and obviously... a person of the Jewish faith, but as I said the other day, he speaks on many issues, not just Catholic issues, and he speaks to people of all faiths. And there's a moral component, obviously, to his voice and his message that should be heard. And I say that we have rising voices, not just in this country, in this city, but around the world of intolerance. His voice is one, and the Pope Francis of tolerance. If you listen to what Pope Francis said, he talked about immigrants. He talked about tolerance, not to have a voice or a message of exclusion, but of inclusion, not one of intolerance, but of tolerance, one of peace, not one of disorder. And I think that that message needs to be heard, needs to be echoed. And I would like, as we confront the issues of immigrants, as his grandson and the son of immigrants, as we confront the issue of refugees, that we would adopt a mindset that there is no stranger among us. There are our brothers and our sisters, and try to embrace that culture of tolerance as well as inclusion, and to lift those up who are down.
Well, you made the announcement right away that Chicago is a sanctuary city.
Yes.
You made that announcement, and you didn't even think about Washington, D.C., federal funds. You just said, hey, this is a sanctuary city. You're safe here.
This is the city. My grandfather, next year, 1917, will be 100 years. He came to this city, 13 years old, to leave the violence of the pogroms of anti-Semitism. Chicago was a sanctuary city for him.
Right.
He never saw his parents after 13. He came here to meet a third uncle, a third cousin. He did not know, not a word of English. He was a truck driver, a meat cutter, steel worker. His grandson is the mayor of that city. Chicago was a sanctuary city for Herman Shmulevitz. His son, Les Shmulevitz, was a Chicago police officer. My mother was a nurse. This is a great city and a great country because
right.
we have been, as a country, not just a city, a sanctuary city for immigrants who've come and sacrificed, leaving something they loved, to come to a place that they thought and believed that their children could have a better tomorrow. And we will never let go of that hope.
Mayor Rahm Emanuel in studio with us. Your brother, Ari.
I would just like to say, this is the first time at WGN I've ever had a serious discussion on anything. I think Steve's absence
especially,
speaks volumes, okay?
Especially I would like to take
note right
especially
now
with me.
That for the first time, WGN actually is relevant.
Speaking as a reporter, we have to give props to you and the city and the police department. We had major celebrations and incidents, peaceful protests. We had 5 million people in Grand Park. No incidents. It just
our police do
volumes
a,
to the city of Chicago.
Thing. Our police will work on certain issues as it relates to policing.
Right.
We're never
going to
waver. But our police deserve everybody's support.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
They do a hard job in a context we don't know in a period of time that we're making major changes. You want to see public safety? Support your officers. They have to earn it. But support them, and it will go longer than any one thing that I, as mayor, will give them, or any one thing we will do and work on the other side as it relates to after school, summer jobs, and mentoring. Police knowing they have support. Again, I want to emphasize, you don't get it by default. You earn it.
Mm-hmm.
And the way every incident, every encounter is a teaching moment, and you have to teach that respect to get it back. On the other hand, we have to start by also supporting our officers so they know they can do their job with the public and the community support. And they do a great job in very difficult conditions. But you're going to ask something else.
I wanted to ask you about your brother, Ari, who met with President-elect Donald Trump. What did he tell you about the conversation?
Wouldn't you like to know?
I would. I would, absolutely.
I don't. Yeah.
Did he call you?
I wish I could say this as a joke. This is a joke, but somewhat, I'm not sure who has shorter attention span. they had a good meeting. That's all I'll say.
I want to congratulate you on a balanced budget.
Yep.
And did you give the governor any pointers over the weekend?
We had I do want to say our city's pensions went from where they were when I came into office.
Oh, you inherited it.
Insolvent, yes. Mm-hmm. To on a path to solvency. And our budget is deficit is now been shrunk by 80% with a lot of reforms, a lot of changes. We've taken $600+ million out of the budget. And we're going to eliminate a lot of bad habits. And we passed this budget 48-0. The governor and I had, we enjoyed it together as families, enjoyed this moment with the cardinal. We had a time to just socialize, which I think is important. And we also had a discussion of what we could work on together and the importance, I think, of Chicago to the overall economic and cultural well-being of the state. And we need that partnership.
Well, the problem in the state is Democrats and Republicans can't work together. Same thing in Washington. But the reason that you and I got together is because of a Republican, Ray LaHood, who was on the phone with us and wanted to say hello, your old friend. Cousin Ray, how are you?
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Mom, as Pete knows and everybody knows, all of us have so much to be thankful for, and me indeed, because of our wonderful friendship that we developed while we were in Congress together, and then the opportunity that you, President, provided me to be Secretary of Transportation. I am really thankful this Thanksgiving, and I'm thankful that you had a successful trip to Rome, and you're back safe, and you're the other thing I want to say is I worked with a lot of mayors for 4.5 years when I was Secretary of Transportation. And the success that mayors have is when they surround themselves with very, very good, competent people. And there is no doubt that the reason for Rahm's success in many areas, including transportation and many other areas, is because he has a great team that helps him every day keep Chicago moving to the next level. So I'm thankful that my cousin has had the opportunity to do well on the radio, but also thankful for my friendship with Rahm Emanuel.
Ray, you brought me to tears.
See, it's a very serious day for you.
I'm going to give you, well, Ray's a very, very good friend and is a personal friend. You said a Republican, but and Ray remembers this, when we used to fly back from Washington, like 4, 5, 6, 7 people on the delegation, Ray had to catch a flight to Peoria. So I always would put him, if I had a seat farther up, and those were within minutes to get the D.C., Chicago, Chicago-Peoria connection.
Right.
And I used to give him my seat. I said, sit here, because it makes you all that quicker. And minutes count, literally, to make so that, because otherwise you got to drive to Peoria. And Ray's just a horrible driver. That's why we made him Secretary of Transportation. But on a serious note, and then from there, Ray and I then started a process of two things. We used to put dinners together, 6 Republicans, 6 Democrats, once a month. And upstairs in a restaurant or some back room. And it was just, and nothing ever leaked from it. It was just ties off, sleeves up, drink, dinner, families, all politics. You know, we did it all. Talking, we had friendships and developed that working relationship. Then Bray and I worked together on expanding children's health insurance for the children without health insurance. And then it evolved. And I remember when President Obama was putting his cabinet together, Ray will tell you this. He originally wanted Secretary of Agriculture, and I said, no, I think Secretary of Transportation, and he agreed to it, and that has that friendship and that vision, and I want to say as much, Ray has a lot to be grateful and thankful for, as all of us do, and I know his family, and I know how he cares about his family, and he cares about public service,
right?
And he always, regardless, he could have instinctually, given my role, gone into a partisan mode, and he had a chance to say, let's just see each other as Ray and Rahm. Kind of like Thelma and Louise.
I
and then
it.
We just drove off the hill together.
We need
together.
More of that.
A much happier ending, though.
But no, yes. But and that was the basis. And there's never a time that I will ever take for granted that friendship because I want to – it's personal. And he always starts by asking me about my family because he knows what that means, as I do with him.
Yep.
And that is – you know, if we can get past barriers and we get past – names or identities and see people for their humanity, which is, I think, where Ray and I started.
Right.
And I will always have a great friendship with
them. Can we bottle up this bipartisan segment and just send it to Washington right
well,
now?
Well, I thought we had the incense candles around here.
We're getting those at Costco.
You know, around the story that you told about your grandfather, Pete and I can tell about our grandfathers who came from Lebanon, not speaking a word of English, ended up in Peoria, Illinois, and now we have a great community here, and all they did is play by the rules and work hard and had faith in God, and they were successful. Their grandchildren and great-grandchildren achieve what Pete and I and others have done is the American story. And so what you're doing in protecting people and protecting their ability to live out the American dream is very, very important, notwithstanding all the other garbage that's being talked about.
Let me emphasize. On a serious note, two of us are the most unlikely. Ray was from downstate. I'm from Chicago. Ray was Lebanese. My dad was from Israel.
Right.
Okay, I'm Jewish. Ray was Lebanese. Your grandfather. You would not have, and he was a Republican. I was a Democrat.
Complete opposites.
Right.
All
that. It's kind of like a marriage. A marries B. All that moved. We separate. We didn't. Those were not barriers, but those were opportunities to hear and listen to each other. You know, last year at Alderman Burke's suggestion, myself, Alderman Burke, and 2 other aldermen hosted a Thanksgiving dinner for Syrian refugees.
Really?
Yeah. And their families, because they made a journey to a place and a set of values and ideas.
Right.
And if you're going to become Americans, which is what they were, Syrian Americans, proud of their Syrian heritage, but embracing their new country, what better way than the Thanksgiving dinner? And we served, I brought my two daughters, which is part of our Thanksgiving dinner. You are going to serve these families.
Good for you.
And you're going to serve them and let them, and then we gave gifts, backpacks, clothing, all the sports teams donated hats and jerseys, all that, so the kids could become part of the new country they've journeyed to and celebrate the American family, which is not just your nuclear family. And so Ray's story of his father is a story of my grandfather. It has 140 languages in Chicago, that
right,
story.
Right.
And it's all the same story for the same ideals, the same values.
Yep.
Chicago is not a location. It's a set of values and a set of ideals. And as long as we stay true to it, we will be the greatest country in the world.
Ray, happy Thanksgiving. We got to run. I'll see you this week.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Ray, thanks for doing the dishes.
Good luck, Rob.
See you, brother.
Cousin Ray LaHood, former Secretary of Transportation, Mayor Rahm Emanuel in studio with us. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to have some fun.
Yeah, so here's the big story this hour, Pete. We thought we'd have a little fun since Mayor Emanuel is in studio with us this morning. Thank you, Mayor, for being here. And over the summer, Mayor and I were talking about having a bike tour of the city. And he has, of course, a crazy busy schedule, as do I. And we kept mixing.
Wait a second. You're
more
not as crazy
fault,
as the mayor's schedule.
More my fault. More my fault than Mayor Emanuel's schedule. But we promised a little bit more on my end.
What is this? A little
than the mayor's end. But we promised to do a bike tour of the city because there's all these great new, in addition to the bike path along the lakefront.
He's all about the bike path.
All about the bike path.
All about
I'm an avid
number
cyclist.
One city for bike commuting.
He right gave here. Me some cool Chicago flag cycling socks, which I did bring, but I didn't wear them upstairs. So we promised everybody a bike tour, and Cochran kept saying, when are you going to do the bike tour? When are you going to do the bike tour? So we thought we'd do a quick little bike ride here.
Is this our CompuTrainer?
We have two bikes in the studio behind
Mayor,
me.
If you would join me, we'll step over. We'll do a little.
The mayor's going to hop on the bike right now. He's like, what? I already worked out today.
Yeah, I did.
The double workout day.
Communicate to the rest of the I did.
Well, okay. You have a microphone right there. There you go. We have microphones set in front of the bike.
Can you hear us okay? All right. Okay.
So the record, I already swam my mile. I'm doing a WGN triathlon.
this is fantastic.
And for the record, look when you do the triathlon, he goes home and he showers and then he goes back to work.
Yeah.
This is nice. See?
I did my 1 mile swim.
Okay.
I also did my weightlifting, and now I'm doing my biking.
This is the funniest picture.
Oh, look at this. Is that Logan Square?
Isn't that beautiful?
Let's go to the Busy Bee.
Go ahead, Mr. Mayor. Take her around the city. Where are we right now?
All right, let's go to 18th Street. Let's go to that bike path along 18th Street there.
Okay.
That's brand new.
If we go a little south and farther, we can go to Chicken and Waffles, right near the new Mariano's.
Okay.
Love it. Okay. I've been there, by the way.
It's definitely because of our riding, we need a protein boost with a little carb.
Okay. I like it.
And then Peaches, a little farther than that, because why go farther when we can have, like, the between breakfast and lunch, we can go there.
Perfect. Okay. I love it. Little Huevos Rancheros. Yeah. What we need. Let's go to the new bike paths along State Street, the big one with the bus shelters, too. Those are pretty.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. I want to go up a little north into Ravenswood and have Pauline's. That's got great. The scrambled eggs.
We're having a great meal, too.
Yeah.
Guys, you're just hitting food places right now.
That's right.
Hey, man, we're burning carbs, brother. I don't see you. I don't see you sitting
I have a boot.
There. Your biggest activity is your
foot.
Stretch.
You need to come bike here, McMurray. Let's go.
Yeah. Let me explain to people. Excuses. We have two stationary bikes in the studio. The mayor is on one. Andre is on the other with microphones.
You are wearing the plastic cast on your right foot.
Right.
Andrea said that when she couldn't bike before, she had one. What goes on here? You guys need workers' comp.
I got hurt.
you need some workers' comp.
You thought you were
going to
come in,
show.
Talk
what
about the city,
on?
And leave. Right. We got you sentimental, talking about the Pope. We had Ray LaHood on. Now you're exercising.
I'm going up the hill.
All right.
I'm on 606. Wait, on your left,
Whoa. We're not supposed to go. Yeah, there it is.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Oh.
Love the 606.
Yeah. Oh, is that the soccer field at the end of it? There it is.
You've done this before.
Everybody.
You love this.
Woo, we love this.
It. Oh, look, they're waving.
Look, everyone's waving on Michigan Avenue.
With all five fingers up. That's because of you.
Woo, where's your helmets?
What are you doing? What are you doing for Thanksgiving, Mr. Mayor?
All right, so we do this tradition for 20 years. So this year, Ari and Sarah will host it. Last year, Amy and I hosted it. And we rotated among the three brothers. And then we do our family tradition, which is Thanksgiving dinner. Nobody listens to anybody but yells over them. We do
it's
a
like my house.
Charitable every house.
Yeah.
Food pantry or something like that. And we also have a football game where the cousins kick the crap out of the older people.
You turned up your bike. You're winded right now.
What's that?
You can let the resistance off. You don't have to turn it all the way up.
He's jet lagged and he's a little.
I already did my
mouth. Yeah, I'm out of breath too.
He's like, is that enough?
Can I just say, when I bike, I don't usually talk to people. Okay.
And I
also we have this whole thing, and then for 20 years, all the cousins, and then we grandmas and grandpas, everybody's together, and now because the two kids are in college, a lot of. Roommates,
right? Of course,
that's fantastic.
And we do, and that's been 20 years.
Love it.
Rotate.
Are you doing dishes? Are you making food? What are you doing?
First of all, after every, I love doing the dishes.
What?
I love it
because you get conversation with people that you wouldn't normally talk to.
No, because you get to turn your back on everybody. Just water going over your head. You don't get to listen to any of the other arguments.
I don't have to hear any complaints about the city.
By yourself.
Uh-huh. None.
And after being with 30 people for like 48 hours. Water just running over your hands with a project.
You're very happy
very
with that.
There's a lot of solitude to it.
A lot of symbolism going on here.
It's
as
yes.
As well with the water. By the way, the Christmas tree, phenomenal. It's the best Christmas tree we've ever had.
Really? Wait until you see the menorah.
Mayor, thank you so much.
Mr. Mayor, thank you for coming in.
I'm not quitting.
No, you can keep going. I have to go into another commercial.
Mayor, I'm winded. I can't keep up with that.
Mayor Rahm Emanuel at 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN Radio is the sound of Chicago.
720 WGN.
720 WGN. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. The 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by Wintrust Community Banks. Thanks again to Mayor Rahm Emanuel. In studio with us, he is the owner of Chicago Cut Steakhouse, Ocean Cut Steakhouse, Ocean Cut, not Ocean Cut Steakhouse. It is Ocean Cut, which has seafood and steaks. It's David Flom. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, Pete.
He handed me a bottle of Captain Morgan and a bottle of wine when he walked through the door. That's why I was laughing.
Happy Thanksgiving, Pete. I want it to be a great one for you.
Yes.
Just trying to help you get there.
I appreciate that. We wanted to have you in today because we wanted to talk about sides and we wanted to talk about turkey. And did you, you
so
brought in
important.
A turkey today, right?
Yeah, we've got a huge turkey here.
And how is it prepared?
Well, we're going to deep fry it. You know, there's so many people that get all complicated about cooking turkey, and we're going to make it simple.
Deep fried turkey is so moist, isn't it?
It's so juicy.
Andy just had it Saturday.
Yep. First time, yeah. It was really good.
How long did it take you to cook?
It was a smaller bird, about 12-pound bird, so it took about 45 minutes.
Okay,
yeah.
Nice.
That's pretty easy, isn't it?
Pretty
easy. You throw it in there and you don't have to wait 4 hours.
You don't have to get up at 5 in the morning. You don't have to brine it. It's, you know, it's a lot simpler, a lot easier, and you still got juicy turkey.
Okay, what are your sides? We wanted to have you in today to talk sides, traditional sides with a modern-day twist.
You know, when you call your 84-year-old father and you say, Dad, what were the best sides growing up for you at Thanksgiving? He goes back to things like sweet potato casserole with marshmallows, green bean casserole with the fried Frank's onions on the top. I did not bring the Jell-O mold, but he did mention
Aunt Rosie used to make the Jell-O mold every year. God bless her.
Then, of course, there's how you cut your cranberry ocean spray coming out of the can to make it look fancy.
Now, let me ask you. My mother does it every single year. Is that a thing where you pull it out of the can and just put it on the plate in the shape of a can?
Well, yeah, that's how you
would do it. Is that the thing? Is that like an old-time tradition?
You know, I think the general rule is you leave it in the shape of the can if you don't have guests, you know, people outside the immediate family. If you have people outside the immediate family, then you need to cut it and make it look like something.
But my mother does both. She makes, you know, in the bowl with the cranberries, and then she has the traditional out of the can, and she slices like 3 slices, and it sits there.
Right. That's the best kind. Cool Whip or no Cool Whip, Anta?
I think it's optional. I think it's on the table. I'm not a cranberry guy, unless it's with vodka.
I understand.
Yeah. Can you do that?
I'm not a cranberry fan either, usually, but I would eat it that way.
I mean, listen, most people love the gravy, right?
Right.
You can't give me enough gravy because it's a sleeping aid.
Yeah.
And so that's...
Which is fine.
Which is fine because when you're with your outlaws or, I mean, your in-laws, you just want to go to bed and watch football.
Right. Of course. So let's talk about green bean casserole.
All right. So Here's the biggest revolution about green bean casserole between yesterday and today. Simply that we're going to use fresh green beans. That's revolutionary in just itself. So we're at Costco. We buy the big bag of fresh green beans.
Were you at Costco yesterday?
Yeah,
were you one of the cars that I drove past?
Please. I mean, the lady in front of me had three carts. It's like,
three?
Lady.
What are you doing, people? I have to go today. All right, keep going.
And I looked at her. I said, so are we going to go fast? And she's like, oh, yeah. And she's flying things around, this and that. And she was ready to roll. And, you know, she's like, this is my workout for the day. And I said, that's great. So, all right. So the good news about green beans at Costco is they come packed, already washed, cleaned, and they're clipped. Because the biggest, hardest part about green beans is that you have to trim off the tips of them. That's all done for your Costco, ready to go. We're going to.
Great.
You'll see that in the mixture, there's a mixture of sauces. We're using a little cream. We're using fresh mushrooms, which is part of the mushroom soup, is the original recipe. We threw in some Madeira wine just to make it super interesting.
You got to put wine in everything if you own a steakhouse. By the way, we're going to post this online at WGNradio.com.
And you finish it with the traditional Frank's onions on the top. I didn't want to change that part of it, but it's just a fun and fresh way to have green bean casserole look like you're trendy and hip while you still remember what your mom made you for.
Those fried onions are so good on the top of a green bean casserole. So it's easy. You get the fresh green beans, you get the cream of mushroom soup, and you get the fried onions. That's it.
It's pretty simple.
That's easy.
Yeah, you can do it.
And everybody loves it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you cooking, by the way, on Thursday?
I am picking up pies from Costco today. My mother, Betty Ann, has been cooking since last week, and that's not a joke.
Okay.
55 people at my mom's house.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's nice.
All right. So then sweet potato?
Sweet potato. Hold on. We're going to check traffic, and then we're going to come back.
I love it.
And do we have the fryer to give away today?
We do.
We have
Bass Pro Shop gave us a beautiful 30-quart fryer to give away. I told them that we're going to need all the accessories, so they threw in a $75 gift card on top of the fryer.
You're kidding.
So you can get your peanut oil, make sure that nobody has peanut allergies, but that's traditionally what you cook your turkey in, the whole thing. Later.
And we are giving this away in the next 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Let's roll.
312-981-7200. I want to hear about a bad Thanksgiving dinner. If it's a great story, you can text us the story. If it's good enough, we will we'll put you on the air, and then we'll give you this fryer, courtesy of Bass Pro Shops.
Love it.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
720 WGN, Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. It is 8:53. We have a deep fryer to give away from Bass Pro Shops. You can go to their website, basspro.com. David Flom from Chicago Cut, Ocean Cut, and the local in studio. You have people, you're open Thanksgiving. You have people stopping by Chicago Cut.
Yeah, no, super exciting. We've got 400 turkeys ordered for
400?
Two stores, so we're super excited. We're going to feed a lot of people and have a lot of great families together for the special holiday.
How do you prepare those turkeys?
You know, we have a guy named Chef Hans, who's a legend. Used to cook.
I was at a wedding with him on Saturday. I couldn't believe it.
And he's the director of our Thanksgiving deal, and so he loves a great oven-rusted, slow turkey. So he literally rolls in the restaurant at 1 in the morning, and he's there all day cooking the turkeys.
Is he kicking back a few, you know?
No, you know what? He's on recovery. He's got a bum knee, so he's under recovery. And
he's got a cane. I saw him. Yeah.
So he's, you know, being uber healthy. I've seen him eating kale, I swear. And so
speaking
looks great.
Of eating healthy, I've never had one of your beignets. These are like little tastes of heaven.
Those aren't healthy. Just an FYI.
Healthy, smelly.
It's Thanksgiving week.
Oh, these are great.
We're talking about side dishes for Thanksgiving. The classic sweet potato casserole. I'm not a sweet potato guy, but people love the sweet potato.
Right. So, I mean, when you make classic sweet potato, you put brown sugar and molasses in there, which is all in this recipe. But then the real secret is the marshmallows. And it's not about big marshmallows. It's about the little ones, Pete. You got to get the little ones, okay? The second trick that I was taught by a grandmother was the cornflake topping. So you mix cornflakes with pecans
God,
and sugar and butter.
God, this is old school. I love it.
And so you do, you'll see in the picture, there's a row of the cornflake to get the crunch, and then there's a row of the marshmallows to get the sweet out of the dish, and it's just heaven.
God, that's fantastic.
You'll have sweet dreams. You'll be great.
I can't wait to have the green bean casserole on Thanksgiving. Seriously, with the onions, and that's good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? Are you working? Are you going to enjoy dinner?
Well, we're working, and I'm going to work most of the day, and then we're having a late dinner with the family, so we can spend some time with them and my wife's family.
Do you make Megan and the boys come to the restaurant and help out during the day?
You know what? My son has a hockey game in the morning. There's
on Thanksgiving?
Hockey tournament. If anyone plays hockey, they know that Thanksgiving's full of hockey tournaments, so that's where the kids are going to be at all day.
Wow, that's rough stuff, man.
But after that, I'm sure we will have a in-the-park family football game where someone's destined to leave in an ambulance and get hurt.
I don't understand that. My brother, dentist, Steve, blew out his knee. It's like everybody retired. Yeah, that was it. Enough said. What about Thanksgiving night? Any traditions?
You know what? We're a big pick-a-movie after dinner type family, and then everyone sits on the couch. It's more interesting to see where everyone wakes up than where it is, what movie you pick. But, you know, there's some interesting origami positions that usually pull out of it.
We go to the floating ATM, we call it in Peoria, the Paradise Boat. We go gamble on Thanksgiving night. Yes.
How much do you bring with you when you go gambling?
I have a nice amount of cash.
How much? Just give me a number.
See, here's the thing. I carry no cash. And every time I'm with Flom, he's like, how much cash do you have on you? I go, I don't have anything. I have $4. That's why you have credit cards.
What do you bring? A grand?
Of gamble in Peoria? I don't know, $200?
Oh, okay.
You don't need that much.
Excuse me?
$300? $400?
Excuse me?
See,
he
gets
$10 a week in allowance from his wife, Sarah.
That is not true. Let's
and
give away.
It's usually gone by Monday at lunch.
You think I don't carry cash? My wife never, ever has cash, ever. Let's give away this deep fryer. We want to hear one of the worst stories. Let's go to David. David, tell your story. What happened on Thanksgiving?
Oh, yes, sir. I took out a house. I put the 8 to 10 pound turkey in, and then decided to go out to the health club. Well, on my way to the health club, I received a call from my wife that the oven was beeping, and there was an F1 error. And so I ran home, and the door was locked, and it was in self-cleaning mode.
So you put the bird in the oven, and it was in self-cleaning mode. What happened?
You wouldn't want to know, and I wouldn't want to copyright the recipe. But I unplugged the oven, and we're purchasing a new oven. So.
Okay. All right. Hold on the line. Hold on. Let's do one more call. Let's go to line 3 with John. John, what's your story? Bad Thanksgiving.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving. This was the first time my mother-in-law decided to cook a turkey. And we're all asking her, did you clean the bird real good? Did you do it? She goes, oh, yeah, I cleaned it real well. Well, did you take all the insides out? She goes, what insides? You know, like the gizzards. The end of the turkey?
In the bag.
Yeah, the bag of everything was still filled with blood and whatnot. So she looked at us with that deer in the headlight look and says, what enters? So we opened up the oven, and here everything was just, it was just a mess. Luckily, we had ham because she cooks a ham. Well, we do ham and a turkey. And we wound up eating ham and ham sandwiches because it was just terrible.
I love it. Let's give him the deep fryer. What do you say?
Yeah, let's do it.
John, we're going to set you up with the deep fryer from Bass Pro Shops, okay?
Yes, thank you so much.
And a $75 gift certificate, card. If I can spit that out. Thank you. All right, John, hold on the line. Okay, and you can go to basspro.com. Are you going to deep fry your turkey this year?
No, we're going to slow, low, oven roast it, just let it take
because you got
time.
A hockey game, you got to work all day
we
at
got,
Chicago
we
Cut.
Got all day. So, you know, there's the people who eat Thanksgiving at noon, they got to get up at the crack of dawn to get their turkey going. I'm a big believer that you know, 5 o'clock dinner time, that way nobody's killing themselves on Thanksgiving.
We eat like at 2 p.m. That's when we eat. Right. And then you can just kind of graze for the rest of the night. I love that.
And then slowly people just filter out of the house and head to the casino? Or is it like a mass?
That's how it works.
Is there a bus that pulls up for
the
57
watch football,
years?
You fall asleep, you wake up, you eat again, and then you call up Uber or a taxi and head over to the boat.
I get you.
Yeah, that's what you do in Peoria.
Does mom know that you go to the boat?
Well,
or is she asleep by then?
My mom can gamble.
She goes with?
Well, she did one year. She likes to play the slots, though.
Love it.
Yeah, Betty Ann can gamble. Absolutely. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
I know you're going to be working like crazy. People are coming downtown this weekend, and I know you're going to be running from Ocean Cut to Chicago Cut and the local, but it's good to see you.
Great to see you. Have a great one. Say hi to Charlie and Sarah.
And tell Megan I love her, okay?
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
720 WGN. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. You never know who's going to walk down Michigan Avenue. We look up, we see this man from WGN-TV. It's Marcus Leshock.
Hi!
You were looking at me like, why do you want me in the studio?
And you actually had me in. Normally, if I see Steve in here, he puts the blinders down. Or calls security, one or the other, and...
What are you doing? Removed from premises. Are you working? You shopping?
Yeah,
what are you doing?
We were doing a taping a segment here. It's going to air on Thanksgiving morning. I always go out and ask people what they're thankful for, and just we cut it all together with some music, and it turns into a nice little piece that
we
are on
nice.
Thanksgiving.
Am so I going to cry? When can I see that? Thursday morning?
You will probably cry. Yeah. No, it'll be Thursday morning. Thursday morning.
What time?
It's nice. Gosh, our show's on from 4 to 8. Thursday morning, so it'll be on periodically throughout the morning. And then we have the Thanksgiving parade starting at 8 a.m. on Thursday on WGN-TV.
You two are in the WGN-TV family, Andrea.
Yeah,
this
well, Marcus
nice.
More so. I'm just there a couple days.
No, right? you're in the family.
We have fun.
It is
it's
great.
It's a great
it is,
team.
It is legit a great place to work. And our show, the morning show, is so much fun to be on. And it's a good crew.
Are you guys getting together for Thanksgiving?
No.
You're going to have a Friendsgiving, Friendsgiving
no,
tomorrow?
I think we see enough of each other for 6 hours a day, 4 to 10 a.m. That's enough. 10 a.m. hits, everyone just goes in a different direction.
Well, we were talking to Conrad the other day. Paul said that Robin's always the first one to go. She runs out of the studio, and he's the second.
No, yeah. I don't think that's true. Robin sticks around. There's a meeting after the show, and Robin actually goes to the meeting. I think Paul's the guy with his car's warming up. They start at like 9:30. His car's running with the automatic start, and then an intern comes and carries him out of the building, puts him in his car, and he drives home.
I have to tell you guys, on the weekends, you know, when we're in the live truck, so many people stop, and they'll go, is Robin back there? Is Marcus back there? Is Paul in the back? I'm like, yeah, we just keep them all tied up in the
Nobody
live truck all weekend.
Nobody asks about me.
Yeah, they
that
do.
Was nice you said that because I'm here.
They do. You and Anna Balaval.
Oh,
yes.
Anna Balaval.
Robin.
Yes.
Robin is the one. Everybody yeah. wants to know about Robin and Skilling. That is the...
Oh, yeah, Skilling.
And then Bozo. That's the trinity.
You have a picture on Facebook of you and Skilling and Bozo,
oh,
right?
Yeah. That's a rare picture.
And there's like a glass of wine in the middle of the table.
That was the night we did it. We had our WGNT morning news primetime special, and we brought everybody out. Bozo,
here it is,
came out for that.
It is it's a blue table with a glass of wine, and it's you, Skilling, and Bozo.
Yeah, and we did a segment where Skilling and Bozo were playing cards over having a glass of wine or a drink. And somebody was smoking a cigarette. I don't know who it was. There was smoke coming in the weather center. There's cigarettes blazing. There's wine out. There's Skilling. There's Bozo. And I have a video of it. I'll have to reshare it on Facebook. But I just had to capture that moment because it was so...
Hilarious.
Yeah, it's so our show to make that happen.
Now, is Thursday when you show the reruns of Bozo?
Bozo, Gar, and Ray? Show the special.
Dean talk about that last
yeah.
week?
Yeah, I think they re-air that on Thanksgiving. I think Christmas Day, too, they might re-air that. Dean would be the guy to ask for sure.
We'll ask Dean tomorrow, but I think he told us that last week.
I think
it's Thanksgiving
that sounds,
Day.
That sounds right. They would do that after the parade at some point. They would air that.
Yes, damn. Thanksgiving Day. They're going to be airing
see,
it.
There you go.
What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
We're having family at our house. So we have about 16 or 20 people coming over Thanksgiving Day.
Why are you doing that?
This is our second year doing
Come
it.
On.
We absolutely ruined our turkey last year. It was a disaster. We got this recipe from a website I won't name, but it's a very popular website. So this is what you do on your first Thanksgiving. They had this whole rub that you put together. You rub on the turkey.
Yep.
But we brined the turkey and then rubbed the turkey, and it was so salty. Ooh. Yeah, we ruined it. I mean, it was absolutely
well, you
ruined.
Make
and people,
the turkey
were, people were nice. Family were like, oh, no, it's okay.
That's terrible.
Like, and they're all like, whoa, in the corner.
When you have
like,
your
stop
first...
lying to me. It's bad enough my turkey's ruined. You don't have to lie to me the whole
first
day.
Thanksgiving, you got to practice, man. You got to make that turkey a month in advance.
Yeah.
You got to tweak it.
What do you think what do you think I'm doing here? You know, I've got a job. I live about an hour away. I've
what
got
do
two
think,
kids.
What,
you think I have all this time to just make a four-hour turkey? Come on.
You got to practice. So this year, you're ready to go. You're going to have a good turkey.
I said that after last year. It's like, honey, this is what we're going to do. It was like 1950s all of a sudden. Honey, so what we're going to do. I'm going to buy a couple turkeys throughout the year. We're going to make turkeys. We're going to perfect it. We did none of that.
Of course.
None, all of a sudden, two days ago, I'm like, oh, wait. We should probably get the turkey before so we can thaw it out, right? And so that's now sitting in the fridge. Hopefully it thaws out in time.
And do you throw it in the sink? Don't you have to leave it at room temperature? My mother used to throw it in the sink.
Well, I put it in the fridge Saturday morning. So I'm hoping by Thursday it should be fine. It's a 24-pound turkey, though, so cross your fingers.
Don't you hate that? It takes up all that room in your refrigerator.
Yeah.
It's like, I got to get this thing out.
Exactly. I just look at it. I'm like, why didn't I call Chicago Cut or somebody and have them make my Thanksgiving dinner for
you
me?
You got a guy. You just hugged Flom when he was walking out.
That's true.
You got a guy.
Well, good move having them in here so they could bring you all this food, by the way.
Well, we talked Thanksgiving this week. Everybody's talking about food.
Yep.
I got to go to Costco today. Do you need anything? Can I get you some water for the party?
Alcohol, probably, something like that.
He'll promise that he'll bring you something from Costco,
not
and then
he won't. I'm grabbing three pies and a case of water, and
he finds out I live up in Grays Lake, and he's did I say
Ray
Costco?
And Raymond Chevy? Yes.
People always say that to me. When you live far away, they're like, oh, I really want to come out and visit. I'm like, great, here's the address. And then they, I've got a thing for the next two years. Oh, I'm moving to China, and I can't.
You drive in every morning from Grays Lake.
I do. Yeah.
How long is that drive?
You know, it's about 35 or 40 minutes.
With no traffic.
You got to remember, I come in at, I start working at 4 a.m.
How about
so
on
I
the way home?
3:30. It's not that bad because we're done at, you know, our show's over at 10. So by that time, the traffic's done. So it's about 40 minutes.
Okay. By 10:01, I mean, they're flying a lot.
Right? When you've got kids, at home, it's good to have that buffer time, you know, after work to getting home. You've got that 40 minutes to sort of get out of work and get ready for what's going to hit you when you get home.
It's a tough job being on WGN TV.
It is. It's really hard.
Look at how stressed you are.
You've never looked better. You've got to just de-stress.
Marcus Leshock, happy Thanksgiving, man.
Thank you so much for having me. It's so great to hear you back on WGN.
Well, you were outside the window. Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
It's great.
Yeah.
They get rid of that morning guy and just keep you here.
No, we love Cochrane.
I do, too.
You're still not going to get your water from Costco.
No, it's not happening.
He's not going to do it.
All right, quick break. It's 720 WGN.
I see it all around us in every single color and every dimension crowns the reinvention. And if it is black, then it's white.
720 WGN, Finding Neverland opens tonight at the Cadillac Theater. In studio with us is Christine Dwyer and Dwelvin David. Thank you for coming in. How are you two doing?
Great.
Yes, good morning.
As soon as you guys hear the music, it's like, oh my God, are we on? What is going on here?
Yeah, totally.
Tell us a story, first of all, about Finding Neverland.
Finding Neverland is about J.M. Barrie, who wrote Peter Pan, which is the story that we all know and love. And it's kind of about what inspired him to write that story. He meets a woman and her four boys. Her husband has just passed away. And he forms this friendship and relationship with her and her kids. And that inspires him to write Peter Pan.
Did she nail it?
That's absolutely right.
She got it right. Chicago is a great theater town, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean,
we've
really stepped up our game the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Well, I'm actually from Chicago, and I would say that Chicago's game has been on top for a very long time. I've seen some things here that I have not seen anywhere else in this country. I've done some work here that I've not been able to do anywhere else in this country. Chicago is a great theater town.
What's it like performing in front of your friends and your family? I mean, are you nervous instead of being in another city? Or are you excited? How is it?
Oh, not at all. Everyone gets the same show. it's invigorating is what it is. It doesn't make me nervous. It makes me smile more on the inside.
You know, not to make this political at all, I know there was an outburst of Hamilton in New York when the vice president was there. And again, I don't want to make it political, but when you're on stage and something like that happens, I know you're classically trained actors, but does it throw you? Do you ignore it? Do you stop? I mean, how do you proceed? And that's with anything. I mean, if a cell phone rings or someone opens up, you know, a crinkly piece of candy. How do you react to that?
You know, you kind of keep going and tell your story until really that it's up to the management of the theater and stage management and company management to figure out if everyone's safe, to get people out of the theater that need to get out. So we kind of continue to do our show. You know, when things like that happen, it can definitely be scary, because the crazy thing about being on the stage, all of the lights are hitting you. You can't see the audience at all. So you really don't have a gauge of what is going on. So it can definitely be scary, but, you know, we trust the people that are there to keep us safe and everything to kind of figure it out. And we move forward and do our show.
So unless they put the house lights on, you really can't see out.
You can't see a thing.
Yeah. Not past maybe the third row.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you really don't get nervous because you can't see anyone. It's like I'm only playing for 14 people.
That's kind of true, actually.
Where is everybody?
Yeah, I feel much more nervous when the lights are on, you know, in like a TV studio or something, and I have to perform for people that I can see right in front of me than I do performing in a house of 2,000 people.
How long have you guys been performing?
Oh, this is my 17th year as an actor. This is my 14th year as a union actor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a long time. You're going to stick with this thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been performing for, I guess, about professionally for about 12 years.
Christine just performed for the president. I mean, it's not, and Angela Merkel. It's
not
like,
a big deal.
You know, was that cool, though? I mean,
that was terrifying.
Was it really?
Yeah.
How come? I mean, are you watching him or just worried about your...
No, well, I was, I mean... We flew to Germany, and we weren't. It was kind of like a whirlwind of doing the rehearsal and getting into makeup and doing the performance. And I knew she was wearing a bright yellow suit, and I knew he was sitting right next to her. And I had a moment where I could have looked out in the audience just to be like, "This is happening," and I could not bring myself to do it. I was just like. You know, I'm like, I'm just going to pretend that this isn't happening. And I like, I did the performance, and my fiance wasn't allowed in the venue, but he watched it on TV, and he got this great screenshot of President Obama's face like fading next to mine.
Oh. No
so that's
way.
How I know that it happened. But other than that, I was like, that was completely terrifying. I'm pretty sure that I left the stage and burst out into tears because all of that stress and
right.
Yeah, it was insane, but it was an amazing opportunity.
Think about the amount of pressure, the president's in the audience. Yeah. You want to do everything right. Was that in the back of your mind the entire time?
Yes, and I was also really, really sick.
Oh, no.
I was super sick when I got to Germany, so that was another thing. But yeah, it was definitely in the back of my mind, just like, this has to be the best performance that you've ever given.
I'm sure it was. You're just right.
How do you perform if you have a scratchy throat or if you're sick? Dwelvin?
Oh, there are some tricks out there.
What do you do? Are you taking 5-hour energy? Just get me through this performance. That's all I have to do.
There is definitely sometimes. that you have to do
chugging
stuff
coffee.
Like that.
You rest as much as you can in between scenes, in between shows. You drink as much water as you can. There are some
teas
out
there. You got a vaporizer backstage. It's
a personal steamer backstage. You do all the things that you have to do to stay
able to
do your job. Yeah.
How crazy is it backstage during one of these performances?
Oh my God, it's
is it pure chaos? And do you think to yourself at the end of the show, I can't believe we got through that. Oh my God.
Yeah.
The most crazy part is that generally every week or every other week we have to figure out how it's changed in the new venue, because the backstage changes everywhere we go.
Okay.
You're in a different dressing room situation. You know, last week I was up on the fourth floor of a theater. This week I may be in the basement, you know.
So do you change backstage if you have to change, or do you have to run upstairs? Or
they have areas for us to change.
Okay.
We prefer that it's closer to stage than having to go all the way upstairs, but sometimes.
Yeah.
Depends on the show.
My biggest fear is I get on stage and I have to go to the bathroom. Where's the closest restroom?
Well, that changes in every city too. Sometimes it's on sometimes it's on the fourth floor, and sometimes there's only one bathroom, right? Yeah, and you know, in different venues, the backstage area is bigger or smaller, and sometimes we lose what's called a crossover in the back to kind of make our entrances.
Okay.
So we'll have to go like all the way downstairs and up, and you know, crazy things like that.
And then you have to be completely normal when you get on stage.
Yeah.
You have to be in zen, ready to go.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
luckily
people just
for me,
don't get it.
My character is pretty much always running after children when she enters. So if I am stressed out, it probably actually makes my performance better because I just am like running after children all the time.
Wow. Well, good luck, you guys.
Thank you.
It's really nice to meet you. Finding Neverland, it opens tonight at the Cadillac Theater. And for more information, BroadwayInChicago.com. All right.
Run through December 4th.
Dwelvin, David, and Christine Dwyer, thanks for coming in.
Thank you
so much.
Thank
you for having us.
The big story is next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
720 WGN, it's 9:40. Pete in for Steve. He's back next week. Took the week off for Thanksgiving. Just got a text from my sister Mary, who lives in Naperville. We're all headed to Peoria to my mother's. And she said, when you get to town, come to Mom's, help us rake leaves.
Oh, they're putting you to work already.
I don't get it.
So you're not going to take that shortcut now, are you?
I don't get it. This is the thing. You go back to your mother's house, you have to do work. You have to do chores.
Always.
I rake leaves at my house. I don't want to have to do it at my mother's. Can't we just hire somebody? We all pitch in.
No, my mom will
do that. 12 kids.
But do you notice, though, my mom will always say, oh, can you just help me with this one little thing? You know, and it turns out to be, you know, and you don't mind helping.
No.
That's totally cool.
But it turns out to be you're re-shingling the roof. Or you need a new garage door.
There's a hammer.
Oh,
get to work.
Honey.
There's a hammer.
Oh, that hinge broke about a month ago. I can deal with it.
Exactly.
And you
got to
go to Home Depot. You got to get the thing and
gotta
the
go
deal.
Got to go to Costco. Get the water.
Oh, my gosh.
Get the pies. Oh, sorry.
Mary, you have a big family. Do you find yourself doing that? When you all get together, do you have chores to do? Why are you looking at me?
Because like, I was eating the food.
Oh, gosh.
And I didn't realize what you guys were discussing.
Well, we go back to my mother's, and you have chores to do. I mean, you have to rake the lawn.
Always.
You got to fix a door.
Oh, yeah. We're going to see my mother-in-law this weekend, so my husband has a whole list of stuff that he will have to do.
To do, yeah.
Yes. I really don't have much to do there, but
it drives me crazy.
Why?
Because I want to relax.
You're a good son. That's what you should do.
I know. I want to relax over the holidays. Okay?
You know what, though?
There's
my
plenty of time for that.
Lately will do, and you guys probably can't relate because you guys have big families. I have a lot of cousins, but I don't have brothers and sisters. So my mom will say, well, you know, so-and-so's daughter did thus and so, whatever it might be. Well, so-and-so's son came over and reshingled the roof, whatever it might be.
God.
And then
guilt
I feel
trip.
Terrible.
The guilt.
Yes.
The guilt.
Might be a Greek. That's a Greek thing. Greek moms. Do that.
I think a lot of moms do that in general.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it, honey. Okay, Mom.
We'll take care of it.
I'll take care of it. Can you run to the Kroger again?
The Kroger.
I'm not kidding. I'll run the Kroger 70 times when I'm in Peoria. Seriously.
The Thompson Food Basket.
There's a Kroger a half a mile from my mother's. I will go there 17 times.
Is there Country Market? Is that still kind of the
No,
Illinois?
But there's an IGA.
Oh, yeah, the Iggas.
I live in, I grew up in Peoria. It's not like a country town. Well, it kind of is.
They have Casey's General Markets, though.
General stores.
They
do.
Yeah.
On the way.
Yep. Mm-hmm. In El Paso. Right there on Route 24.
I'll be
Gee,
taking...
do they have an A&P, too?
Remember the A&P?
I don't think they do.
A&Ps.
I remember the
A&Ps. That's how small towns are, man.
Yeah.
That's what they're all about.
But you know how great that is, though? When I was in Champaign and I was at the IGA, I left my purse in the shopping cart. True story. And I was maybe 20 years old. I left my purse in the shopping cart, unloaded everything, drove away, got back to my apartment on campus, realized, oh, my gosh, went back. Someone had turned it in. Money was in their wallet. Everything was intact.
Nice.
I left
and
my
I
credit
said,
card
now
at
to
the
this
store.
Day, you still don't leave money in your purse.
That happened to me. Last time I was in Peoria, I left my credit card at Kroger.
Did you really?
Everything was fine. They gave it back to me.
See?
I went back to the store. I'm like, hey, did I leave? Oh, here's your credit card, sir.
Mr. McMurray.
Right.
It's beautiful.
Andy's like,
it's a beautiful thing.
I don't know. We're going to talk to my mother in a second. Trust me, she has been preparing food for 2 weeks. 55 people.
That poor woman. Isn't anybody bringing anything?
Yeah, well, of course.
Well, gee.
Everybody brings something.
What
but
are you
she,
bringing? Oh, the pies. I forgot.
I'm bringing pies. Three pumpkin pies.
And the water.
Pecan pie and water. Everybody needs water, right?
Absolutely.
There is a tap, I would assume.
I don't understand why we all started drinking bottled water. I get it if
you
you're getting in your car, but if you're at someone's house, what's wrong with tap?
You know what? Every morning I do, I go to the fridge, I get a bottle of water when I wake up.
Why?
I don't know. Because I love
don't
Chicago
you have any
water.
Cups?
I do, but it's just, I don't know, it's cold.
It's hard to take a cup and put it under the sink.
Don't you have the thing on your fridge, the cold water dispenser?
No, I don't. But I drink out of the tap. I mean, I like Chicago water. I think it tastes fine. I think it tastes good.
Well, that's what cups are for.
But I automatically just go to the fridge and get the bottle of water. And I'm out now.
Orion is going to be really mad at you.
I know, don't tell Big O.
Here's the deal. You can buy a 40-pack of water at Costco for like $1.50. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous.
But you got to carry it out.
Get it in your refrigerator for free.
Right. Get it out of the fridge.
Get it out of your tap, I mean.
Uh, 720 WGN 948. Pete McMurray in for Steve Cochran. On the phone with us, the woman that brought me into the world. I'm her favorite. It is Betty Ann McMurray. Mom, how are you?
Hey,
I'm
Betty.
I'm fine, honey. And you're one of my favorites.
Just once. I would like you to say, yes, you're my favorite today. How about that?
I'll think about it.
I like your mom.
See?
She's cool.
Mama, I was telling everybody how you started preparing food about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. Is that right?
Yeah, some of it I did, yeah. And I put it in the freezer.
You put it in the freezer and then you bring it out when? Tomorrow? You let it thaw out and then we throw it in the oven on Thursday. And I do mean we.
No, I pulled it out of the freezer last night, put it in the fridge to thaw out.
Okay.
And it'll be ready for Thursday.
So how many people do we have? Our immediate family, just with her kids and spouses and our children. What is it, 43 people?
Yeah, about that. But two of the kids are, well, three, counting Elizabeth. Eddie and Greg aren't going to be able to make it. And, of course, Elizabeth's in the convent of New York, so
yes.
She can't come. But everybody else will be there.
That is my sister. That's the sister. She's in a convent in New York.
Oh, she actually has a name, not
yes.
The nun.
Like, that's
no,
the nun. Yes,
the
that is my sister, Beth.
Yes.
Betty,
yes.
Where do you put everybody? Do you have people in the backyard and the garages? I mean, that's a lot of people.
Well, we have a pretty good size house. We start in the dining room, the kitchen. I have a table, a smaller table in the family room. And then in the basement, I put a folding table for, like, the teenagers. They hopefully don't make such a big mess.
Now, the house that we grew up in, we had one shower, two bathrooms. After everyone moved out, my parents moved into a bigger house. That's why we can fit everybody now. It's crazy.
Of course.
And we say the family prayer and we all gather hands. So you have to bring everybody up on the main level. Everybody has to hold hands while mom says grace. And then you make the speech afterwards. And then we usually, after the prayer is done, everybody eats. And then you like to go around the table and have everyone propose a toast.
Yes, that's pretty much it.
That's what Thanksgiving's all about. And we eat at 2 in the afternoon, and everybody can fend for themselves the rest of the day.
What's the dish at your family house? I mean, everyone has either the sweet potatoes or the mashed potatoes. Is there something unique that somebody makes, a casserole or something, that always goes first?
Well, first of all, we have two turkeys. And then I cook. Two of the girls are going to make the turkeys. And then we have Lebanese food. Besides the mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, all the side dishes.
It's the Lebanese food. Everybody goes for the grape leaves.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
A leaf with rice and lemon on it. It's so good.
It's so yummy.
It is. And my mother, who is very traditional, has an electric stove upstairs. For some reason, they couldn't run a gas line.
No, honey. Don't you remember? I got a gas stove upstairs now.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
When was the last time you went to visit your mother?
Do you still have the stove in the basement, too?
Oh, yeah. I need both of them.
So she runs back and forth. She's got two stoves going. So we
good
have
exercise.
We have a gas stove now in the kitchen.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. I never did like that electric stove.
She hated
that
the electric
sounds like
stove.
My mother. My That's mother so hates cute. The electric stove.
Why is that?
I don't know.
You need a burner.
Because it takes forever it takes and then it stays hot up, too yeah. long afterwards. You burn yourself.
You're probably right.
You can't control the heat. That's why.
Okay. Hey, Mom, I got the dessert. I'm going to Costco today. I'll get the pies and I'll bring the water.
Thank you.
It's like, I'm not really doing much of anything. Yeah, I just go to Costco and
Pete
she's been cooking.
Perfect. I want to know if Pete helps with the dishes at all. But
of course I help with the dishes.
Yeah, see, in our house, it's all the women that go in the kitchen and help with the dishes because we have the most fun in there. We kick the guys out.
We can thank Grammy, my mother, God rest her soul. She would organize all the kids to, at that time, we washed and dried dishes, and they did it in shifts. So everybody got a turn. Yeah. Nobody got left out.
Everybody's got to take a turn.
That's a good idea.
So you start with the older ones, which would be me, and then you work down to the nieces and nephews. It's nice.
That's great.
I'll try to propose that in my house. I don't think it's going to happen.
All right, Ma, I'll see you tomorrow night, okay?
Okay, honey. I love you.
I love you, too. I'll see you later.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Safe travels for everybody. Thank you.
Look at that. That was my mother right there.
Awesome.
She's yes.
Great. So your sister's a nun, so you know what? Your mom needs to be canonized. Raising all of you guys.
Well, she's a saint.
100,000 people in the house. And you didn't even buy her a stove that she didn't have to run up to.
I know she sounds very calm right now, but she can go absolutely berserk at any second. She can go Mike Ditka on you. Let me tell you right now.
I don't see
she can.
No. Not that sweet woman.
It's 720 WGN.